We are midway through a series that I've called Core, where I'm unpacking, reviewing, doing a bit of explaining and challenging with our seven core values. We have seven core values as a congregation. You can find those on our website if you haven't reviewed them yet. I'm taking each one a week, maybe two 1 week. We'll combine some, but we're going to work our way through all of these different values. If you missed the first two values the past 2 weeks, I would encourage you to go online. You can listen to them either at our website or with your favorite podcast app. You can also now watch the sermons online. We've been working on this, and there are now several weeks worth of sermon videos. If you're more of a visual learner, prefer that, we now have that resource available to you as well. It's one of the ways we're using this new space to expand how we get our message out, but also how we keep everybody in the loop when you can't be here. Today, I want to talk about a third value, which is captured in this phrase, every member a minister. Every member of the body of Christ, every member of our congregation is a minister. That conviction is core to who we are as a church, and that core value grows out of passages like the one we're about to read from Ephesians chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, "To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." And then he talks about how the resurrected and the ascended Christ pours gifts out on his people. So Christ himself gave, in the form of gifts to the church, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. Some translations say to equip his people for the work of ministry. Each one of us has been given a form of God's grace that manifests itself as a specific gift or gifts that we use in the service of the body of Christ. We call these grace gifts. Some might call them spiritual gifts. They come by the power of the Holy Spirit filling us and empowering us. Paul, in his letters, he lists these different gifts several different times. There's this list in Ephesians 4. There's also a list in 1 Corinthians 12 if you want to read it sometime. I do want to read a bit from the list out of Romans 12 just to give you an idea of some of the variety of the gifts that Paul talks about in his writings. In Romans 12, verse 6, he says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, sort of like preaching or teaching, proclaiming, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. And if it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Now, all those lists that he gives in his writings, no two lists are the same. There's no one exhaustive list of spiritual gifts mentioned in the New Testament. Each gift is different, maybe because each church is different and each Christian is different, and God pours out different gifts on different churches in different cities because they're all in different ministry settings, and each congregation needs something a little bit different to be gifted the way God wants to gift it for ministry. But if we go back to that passage in Ephesians 4, all those gifts that are listed are leadership gifts or equipping gifts. And the purpose of those gifts is to equip all the other members of the body of Christ, all the other Christians, to use their gifts to build up the body of Christ. The primary job description of leaders, church equippers, is not to do ministry for the church on behalf of the members of the church. The primary job description of the church leaders listed in this passage is to equip other Christians to use their gifts for ministry, to equip every member of the church for ministry, because every member of the church is a minister. That's why it's a bit misleading for us to call only a select few in our number ministers. It's usually those who are somehow employed by the church, as if there's only maybe 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 ministers, 10 people out of our whole church that's doing ministry, and then everybody else is doing something else. When everybody in this text, everybody has a ministry, because everybody in the church is a minister. Now, those who have the gifts of equipping, they use their gifts by equipping other Christians to do ministry. That's the way it's supposed to work, as Paul describes it in Ephesians 4. So, for example, we call Rhett Ritchie our youth minister. Does that mean he's the only person in this whole church that is ministering to our students? Well, of course not. We know better than that. One of the primary ways that he does accomplish his ministry, though, is to build a team and equip others who are members of our church to use their gifts to minister to our students. He's also busy equipping our students to minister to each other and to serve in other ministries in this church. But he accomplishes his specific ministry through equipping other people. Another example, Stacy Losher is our children's minister. That does not mean she's the only one ministering to children in our church. Of course not. She accomplishes her ministry by equipping others to minister to our children, by including others, involving others, building a team that takes responsibility for our children's ministry. And if you want to see evidence of her ministry, her equipping ministry this week, then definitely come back to VBS. Because what she has done is build a team and draw together a group of people with a diversity of gifts and talents and resources. She's brought them together as one team, and they're going to do an amazing job of not only ministering to our children, but also to the children of this neighborhood. And Stacy doesn't do all that by herself. She does it by empowering and equipping others. Do you think she did all of this by herself? All of this and all the decorations, everything we see around our building is a result of her equipping ministry, which is exactly what we call her to do. The ministry staff of this church is not responsible for doing all the ministry at our church. Our job, those of us who are called ministers in some professional way, our job is to partner with the elders and other unpaid ministry leaders to cultivate an environment in which every single member of this church becomes the kind of minister that God has called and gifted you all to be. And the purpose of this equipping ministry is so that we as a church can become more and more and more and more like Christ. We go back to Ephesians 4, pick it up again in verse 12. Paul says, you have these people who are gifted to equip people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, which is a long way of saying so that we can become more like Christ. From him, jumping to verse 16, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. One of Paul's favorite metaphors for the church is the body of Christ. And one of the implications of describing the church as the body of Christ is that the church, the global church scattered around the world, but also particular individual congregations like ours, is the continuation of Jesus' ministry on earth. Christ continues to do ministry in the world through his body, through the church. Christ continues to work in the world through us. And you notice that Paul says, we make Christ known, we grow up in Christ, we become more like Christ as each part of the body does its work. Turn to your neighbor and say, as each part does its work. Now turn to your neighbor and say, that means as you do your part of the work. As each part does its work, we image Christ for each other and for our community. Imagine that this room is a puzzle box. And every single one of us is a uniquely gifted puzzle piece. God has shaped us and formed us and gifted us for a unique purpose. And every Sunday, over two services, almost 500 unique puzzle pieces come together in this box. And every single one of us is essential. Every single one of us. Because there is nothing more frustratingly incomplete than a puzzle that's missing that last piece. I know this because growing up, my sister did jigsaw puzzles. And one time I took one of the pieces of the puzzle and hid it, kept it for myself, so that when she thought she was about to finish the puzzle, there's one piece missing. And she's looking for it. And I come along and, with great satisfaction, put that last piece of the puzzle in place. Now, I did that only once. I found out it's very difficult to hold puzzle pieces when your fingers are broken. Right now, in this room, there is a beautiful, powerful, compelling image of Christ. But it is only seen in its fullness when we bring all of our unique puzzle pieces, all of our gifts, all of our talents, all of our resources together as one. So one of my questions for you this morning is, how are you using your gift or gifts? How are you using the grace God has given you, your talents, your resources? How are you using your gift to help this particular congregation be all that God has intended it to be? Are you using your gift? Or are you a missing piece of the puzzle? Because if even one gift remains unused, then our church is not all that God called it to be. Every single one of us has an essential role to play in the mission of this church. We can't afford for any piece of the puzzle to be missing. Now, as you wrestle with that question, how am I using my gift? Let me share with you a couple of growing edges for us as a congregation as we lean into this. This is meant to be the more challenging part of the teachings. We're like, okay, this is our value. This is what the scripture says about it. Okay, but what does it mean to live into it? One of the growing edges for us is, as we expand our definition of minister so that we're all ministers, not just a select few, it also means we have to expand our definition of ministry. What do you hear when you hear me say the word ministry? When I say you all have a ministry because you're all ministers. I like this definition of ministry. Ministry is using whatever gifts, talents, resources. Resources could be your time, your money, your energy, your expertise, your specialty. Using whatever gifts, talents, resources God has given you to serve others for God's glory. Not for our own glory, but for the glory of God as we make Christ known in the world. That's ministry. And I love this definition because it's so broad. And we need to have a broader definition of ministry. Ministry is so much more than what happens here on Sunday morning. Ministry. You're doing ministry when you go home. You're doing ministry when you go to work. You're doing ministry at school, or when you're a part of a team, or when you serve at the board, or you volunteer for another organization. That too is a form of ministry. Ministry also happens when we gather here on Sunday morning, though. This is not either or, it's both and. We minister as the church gathered. We also do ministry as the church scattered. All of life for us as followers of Jesus becomes an opportunity to do ministry. All of life becomes an opportunity to use our gifts, talents, and resources to serve others. All of it. And this should makes sense to us, because as the body of Christ, that's exactly how Jesus approached his ministry. I love the way Peter summarizes Jesus' ministry on earth in one sentence, really just one phrase, in Acts 10:38. Talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. That's a great summary of Jesus' ministry. He just went around doing good. He was full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and he went around doing good. And part of doing good was he healed people who were under the power of the devil. Part of doing good was he waged war against the forces of evil and darkness. But he went around doing good. That's his ministry. That's what we read and see Jesus doing in the Gospels. His ministry wasn't confined to the temple or the synagogue, the traditional religious gathering places. He ministered in homes, at parties, around the table. He ministered while climbing a mountain, while walking down the road, while sitting around a campfire. He ministered in a fishing boat. All of life was a venue for Jesus to do his ministry. And in the same way, all of life is our venue for ministry. Jesus also ministered in the temple and at the synagogues. It's not either or, it's both and. There's ministry when we're gathered, but there's also ministry when we're scattered. And most of the ministry we do as a church doesn't happen here for a couple of hours on Sunday mornings. It happens when we're scattered back into our city. So when we say we believe every member is a minister, we are saying we believe that every single one of us has a role to play in God's story. Every single one of us is a part of God's mission to do battle against the forces of evil and repair and restore God's broken world. Every single one of us. Nobody gets to sit on the sidelines for this one. And we join God's work by using our gifts, our talents, our resources, when we gather as a church and when we scatter into our city. I think about my job as an equipping minister. What am I hoping to do when I take the stage and I open up the scripture and do some teaching? Hopefully do some motivating, do some explaining, but also do some inspiring, do some sending. What am I hoping? Well, I'm hoping that part of my ministry is equipping you all for ministry here when we're together, but also when we scatter. My hope is that every single person in this room has zero trouble filling in the blank. My ministry is. I hope you already know. You can already say. And maybe your ministry is something that does happen here on Sunday mornings. Maybe your ministry is to stand at a door and greet others as they come in, making sure they have a hospitable presence and a friendly face. Maybe your ministry is to teach three-year-olds. Maybe your ministry is to encourage others here who look like they need a good word from you. But maybe you also think about your ministry in terms of something you do somewhere else. That's appropriate too. What is your ministry? And I hope you don't have to think long and hard about it to fill in that blank. I also hope it doesn't take you long to answer the follow-up question. If this is my ministry is, then belonging to the Preston Road Church of Christ equips me for ministry in the following ways. I hope you're able to see how being a part of this church equips you for your ministry. If it doesn't, we have some work to do. By we, I mean the ministry staff and the leadership of this church. We have some work to do because part of our job is to cast a vision and to equip every member of this church for everyday ministry. My ministry is, and this is how belonging to this church equips me, trains me, inspires me, fires me up for whatever my ministry is. So that's the first growing edge we need to lean into as we live into this value. Let's expand our definition not only of what a minister is, but what ministry is. And then a second growing edge is as we live into this value, if this value is really true of us as a congregation, we have to function less like a cruise ship and more like a battleship, or even better, more like an aircraft carrier. Because on a cruise ship, what do you have? You have a relatively small group of people who are working really hard to provide quality programming, luxurious comfort, and a smooth ride for a much larger group of people who were there to consume the programming provided by the few. And if the consumers don't like the programming, they complain or they go and look for a better cruise ship experience. But on a battleship, everybody on board has a job to do. Everyone. And everybody on board doing their job is a part of a larger mission. And if everybody on board doesn't do their job, then the mission can fail or the ship can go down. And on an aircraft carrier, that's even better. So on an aircraft carrier, everyone has a job that's a part of a much larger mission, but also the purpose of an aircraft carrier is to be a platform from which others are launched on specific missions, and then they come back to the carrier for refueling and repair, for equipping, for training, for strategy, so that they can once again be launched back on mission. Now, all of those analogies will break down after about three sentences, so I don't want to push any of them too far. But I do find them to be helpful in clarifying our expectations of what it means to be a member of a church. What do you expect when you come here on Sundays as a member of this church? What is it that you think you're a part of? What kind of ship are you boarding? Do you expect quality programming that you consume and evaluate and complain about if you don't like it? Or do you come expecting to use your gift to contribute to a larger mission? Do you come expecting to participate in the ongoing battle against the forces of evil led by our risen Lord? Do you come expecting to be refueled after a grueling week of ministry in this city? Do you come expecting to be equipped, to be inspired, to be motivated for your next mission, which begins as soon as you leave this place? What do you think it means to be a part of a church? What ship are you boarding when we come together as a church? Because when we say, we believe, this is core, we believe every member is a minister. We are saying we do not want, we cannot stand to be, we cannot afford to be a cruise ship church. When we say we believe every member is a minister, we're saying that whether it's when we're gathered together, ministering to each other, encouraging each other, inspiring each other, equipping each other, or when we're scattered during the week ministering to our city, we're saying we believe every single person in this room is essential. We all have a job to do. We all have a role to play in the story. We all are an essential part of the body of Christ because every single one of us is a God-called, Spirit-empowered, Christ-imitating minister of the gospel. And that's how Jesus makes himself known among us and in our city through the body of Christ, as each part does its work. May we live up to our identity as a congregation. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet and face and voice of Jesus in this city, one of. And may we live up to our identity as individual Christians. We are all Spirit-filled, Spirit-gifted members of the body. Let's close by reading these words from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Would you please stand and let's read these out loud together. Together, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.